Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast, doing this intro from San Francisco, so sorry if you hear some of the ambiance of the streets and the people of San Fran. An old man just gave me a big compliment for opening the door for him outside of an Italian restaurant. That was kind of nice. He goes, thank you so much, young man. I go, young? I'm actually 82, man. I just look great for my age. He goes, you do? I go, stop hitting on me. He goes, oh, this guy's hilarious. Made my day. Anyway, today's episode is super fun. Brad and I got to sit down with a good buddy of both of ours. He's open for Brad. He's open for Joe Coy, Carlos Mencia. He's been on The Tonight Show, on Comedy Central, on BET. He was a former martial arts instructor, an R&B producer. He's a dad. He started comedy, a little bit later than most people would. But he's crushing it. And his name is Jason Collings, and he's here on the podcast for you guys today. It's one of my favorite episodes we've done. As far as if you want funny and heart in an episode of the podcast, Jason provides it. I don't want to tell you any more than what I've told you. Just sit back and enjoy this one. Jason performs at the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and improv all the time. He's on the road with our buddy Chris D'Elia, I think you can check him out, jasoncollings.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Jason Collings. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter, at Funny Brad. You can see me at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver, B.C. Vancouver, B.C., I'll be at the Comedy Mix this Thursday through Saturday. Get your tickets at comedymix.com, May 21st through the 23rd, Adam Ray Comedy Mix. You can see Brad Williams at, I didn't look at Brad's tour schedule. So go to BradWilliamsComedy.com and see Brad Williams. He was just in Dayton. You know what? Fuck it. All right. I'm on top of this shit 99.9% of the time. And this time I forgot because I have to do the intro on my phone because I don't have my laptop on me. And we got to get this episode up on time. But go to BradWilliamsComedy.com. Check out his tour dates. Of course, go to AstoriMerchandise.com because guess what? Roni and the Quave shirts and mugs are live on the AstoriMerchandise.com site for the podcast. ESTOYmerchandise.com. The Roni and the Quave, obviously from the episode with our buddy Andrew Santino. Go back, listen to that. See why it's so fucking hilarious. I told that Beefaroni story from the Adam Devine tour. Had a little bit of a slip up. Said Roni and the Quave as I was describing my Beefaroni disaster. And it became a hilarious rant that we've turned into t-shirts and mugs. And you guys were already super pumped about them. All the Twitters and Instagram comments we really are pumped about. So go to AstoriMerchandise.com and get your Roni and the Quave shirts. And I think that's it. Now we get all the tour date info out of the way. Those are the Twitter handles. Those are the merch info details. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special ABLN episode with our buddy, the hilarious Jason Collings.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. What no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you and It's about last night.
I can totally hear us.
Nice. Yeah. Do you like the sound of your own voice?
I do like the sound of my own voice. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah, for sure. When did you start? You're one of... Dude, do it. Don't.
What? I'm warming up.
Whoa.
No, you see.
Let me
show you.
It's the beginning of the movie.
Whoa. There you go.
Oh, damn. I think you and Brent Morin could just communicate just by singing.
Which is how we communicate anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know Jason Collins and
Brent Morin sang backups on the only song on my album, Pop-Tart Suicide, called Super Fucking Chill. Yeah. And... yeah.
Oh, really?
And they ripped it up, dude. So much so that they sang on another track that is in the early stages of being turned into a music video.
That's the Zip.
All the Way Zip, yeah. When did you start? Because there's a handful of comedians who sing, right? But, like, that sort of, like, I don't know what you would call them. Woo, like, whatever.
Scatting?
That's something. R&B?
That's just something you're born with. It's in my soul.
God-given talent, I think that's what you call it. Yeah, but when do you realize you can do that? Because you can't, you're not just doing it. What I just did, that's an impersonation of guys that do it.
It's a good impersonation.
Granted, like when I was in New Orleans and did a black guy go, oh, hell
Wait, you did a black guy in New Orleans?
Hey, don't question Adam Ray. It's New Orleans. The rules don't apply. It's fine.
You just said when I did a black guy in New Orleans.
No. Well, yeah.
Fuck both of you. I said when I did it.
Well,
too.
I mean, hell, if you're doing black guys and now you want to fuck both of us, shit.
Brad knows how to, you know how to, what's it called? Project.
I know how to project my voice.
And the first time I met you was on tour with Mencia.
Yeah.
And you did the announcing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can't even do it.
Well, yeah, because we had. Just don't have the mic. All right, yeah, I'll hang back.
Yep.
Yeah, because when I was on the Mencia tours, we would do the guy that was working in the theater would say the announcements, and he would always fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
The same way you go to a lot of comedy clubs that maybe are not an improv or a funny bone, and they got the DJ or club owner, and he just doesn't know how to do it. So
I can't stand a bad sound guy.
Right? Who just comes on and does like the...
ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show in store for you tonight. Tonight, your comedian is Jason Collings.
Oh, in Brea the other night, it was, ladies and gentlemen, Jason, he said my name, Jason. Jason Collings.
Jason Collings sounds like one of Will Smith's children. This is my son, Jaden Smith. Jason.
Yeah, but okay, so back to this bit, and then we'll move on. But that's, when do you start realizing you can do that?
That's, I don't know. It's, I've been, you know, I've been singing all my life.
Yeah, but
like, it ain't no thing, Adam Ray.
Okay, but what was the group that inspired you to go, oh, that sounds dope, and then you do it, you know?
That's a hard question.
Because you clearly didn't just you did not have a basis for inspiration.
Obviously, yeah. Michael McDonald.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Michael McDonald, because, you know, white boy, which I didn't know for the first time I ever saw
For sure, yeah.
Right.
And he just kills it. And he does he does that high voice thing. And then he always goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He just doesn't say anything. You know? He fills it in for lyrics.
If I could make a Jason Collings doll, and hey, can I be honest? That's a sentence I never thought I'd say. But I like you that much that I would like to hypothesize being in a position to make a Jason Collings doll. And if I could, and I would pull the string, you would have catchphrases, but you would sing everything.
That's how Brent and I like trash talk. Like when we're around people that we want to make fun of, we sing it to each other. Oh, you shouldn't be wearing those shoes. You know, like,
they're a tragedy. Nobody wears feelers anymore.
I would, though.
Yeah, so would I.
My feelers.
Except if you're Grant Hill. Obviously,
dude, you have a good voice.
I mean, you know,
he's got pipes.
Yeah, I got pipes. Yeah, well, but there's, you know, I got, you know, all of my singing usually goes up that high, or I get really gritty.
That's a good way to sing though. If you can't sing very well,
right?
It is.
This has been the About Last Night podcast with Jason Collings. Okay, so this has been a long time coming, having you on the podcast.
I know, I've been begging.
You haven't been begging. We just have been trying to do it at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else was available.
Not true.
And we had Rita Rudner scheduled. But
really?
Yeah, but then she backed out at the last second.
Anytime Rudner bails, we fill it up with Collings.
You got Collings on deck.
There's, I don't really know to introduce you to our listeners where we begin with the questions I have about stuff that I haven't asked you about at comedy clubs. But I guess let's just start with, how did you get into comedy? And that'll probably segue us into what you left to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I always wanted to do stand-up.
Okay.
But I had kids young.
Yeah.
And I needed to put food on the table.
Yeah, your kids right now are how old?
They are 20 and 25.
And you are?
44.
So you had your kids when you were 12. Mm. This has been Adam Can't Do Math on the About Last Night podcast.
Yeah, those are my... they're not even kids anymore. They're people.
Yeah, what do you say in your act? You say on the Tonight Show.
They're citizens.
I'm citizens.
They're legal citizens. No, they have ID, they drive.
You know, but you say I don't have
roommates
kids.
Roommates that don't pay rent. Yeah, roommates that don't pay rent.
That's such a good joke.
That's what I said. I said that.
On the Tonight Show. With Jay Leno.
With Mr. Leno.
And you got to hear, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Collings.
Oh, he said it for... He was so cool about it.
Didn't you sit on the couch?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have the picture on your Facebook page. And it's Justin Timberlake was also on your episode.
That was Justin Timberlake and
the
girl that used to be with Robin Thicke.
What's her name? Raven Simone.
No, exactly. No. Not Raven Simone.
Betty White.
No,
Paula Patton.
Paula Patton. Yes.
Paula Patton.
Close.
Yeah. Close. Robin Thicke's ex-wife.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Who were you more attracted to? And that's an honest question.
Jay Leno.
Well,
honestly, physically attracted, of course, I'm going to say
Paula.
Justin.
Actually,
she was a robot. We had to do it one of the questions that a lot of people ask me when they see that clip is, what did you say to Justin? Because at the end, when I walked over and I shook hands with him, he just started cracking up because I'm hilariously funny.
Yeah.
And
you did crush it.
But people don't know that was like the third take or something because Jay kept messing up his lines.
To introduce you?
No. After my set.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't have to do my set more than once.
Thank God.
But jeez. I had to go, good night, guys. My name's gone, and then walk over like twice or something.
Wow.
And, you know, him and I messed around with it a little bit. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
But she was like a robot. Every time she stood up, a very good job. Kisses on the cheek. Her eyes were, I think she might have been high. But I don't know.
I think the saying is pilled out.
Pilled out, right? And... him and I were just kind of having fun with that. And then
that sounds like a great 90s sitcom. Jason Collings in Pilled Out.
I'm in.
This fall, after Hang Time.
I need the work.
After Hang Time. Yeah. A guy that's just addicted to pills.
Sure.
All right. Well, it took a dark turn real quick. I don't know if that's a sitcom people want to watch. So what was that like even? Just go. Because I think you said
awesome.
Jay came back beforehand, right, and talks to you.
He had a car pick me up, like, and he got me there like... so early when no one else was there, like not even the crew was there. It was just him and I, and we just hung out and walked around the set and talked and stuff. It was so cool because the guy comes in and goes, hey, did so-and-so show you your mark?
Yeah.
And Jay said, I'll do it. I'll show it to him. And then we just went for a walk and talked comedy. It was really
fun.
And he just made it. I wasn't nervous because of him. He said, this is the easiest gig you're ever going to do.
Because you were nervous otherwise.
Yeah.
It was freaking Tonight Show.
It was your first TV appearance.
It was the first thing that aired,
gotcha.
But like a month before I did BET Comic View.
Right.
But then that didn't air for like another 6 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But so this was the second time doing it, but the first thing that was going to be seen.
Okay.
And he just said, this is the easiest gig you ever going to do. And if you screw up, you can just do it again.
Wow.
I mean, then we'd stop talking about it.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Huge. Because, I mean, like you said, you know that that's going to air. That night,
yep.
It's the title Tonight Show, and I'm very
intelligent. Wow.
That's a college education right there. But like that just makes you feel at ease because that's the guy that's been doing it every night, and he still has the wherewithal to come up to you and be like, "Hey, I know, like, yeah, I've done this a million times, but this is your first time, so let's make sure that you're comfortable." Because you know,
denim shirt made me feel really comfortable because he wasn't dressed up, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's got the like denim and the denim.
He's just like an uncle,
and more denim.
He's a gig, but and then we just talked about that for like 2 minutes, and then he wanted to talk about comedy and how's the Comedy Store. And
when you got your first laugh, what was? I mean, just with the. I mean, because you walk out, you hear him say your name.
That's the best.
Yeah,
you're behind the thing, and you hear him say.
What's going through your head before you walk out? Like, man, I've worked so hard. This is so dope. Like,
I was just. It was
because you got picked,
a little.
Because
I got a little emotional
for sure.
Because you know,
tell the process. It's like because let's be honest, the Tonight they weren't. having a ton of comics on, and it was probably people. It's all probably some people Jay has to approve, but he's got people that are auditioning and seeing people, but also a lot of people that are like pretty that have been pretty well established in doing it. Yeah. So you, it was a pretty big
and
deal
it was
for
you. A last minute. I didn't know I was doing it till that day.
What?
Yeah,
like
I was at home having one of those my career sucks days.
Yeah,
you know. And then my manager calls me and said, "You're doing the Tonight Show today." Car's picking you up in 45 minutes.
Now, are you super pumped or are you still sulking in that I'm the worst?
I can't. That changes everything.
For sure.
I just went, huh? And my son was there and I said, dude, you want to go to the Tonight Show? And he goes, yeah.
He's holy like, who's crap. Performing? You're like, right. Well, I think you know him pretty well.
He literally went, yeah.
You came out of his dick.
Well, who was on it?
Daddy. Daddy's on it. But like, that's insane because normally how that works is you're going in with one of the producers and you're working on your set constantly for two, maybe three months.
It was surreal. Here's what happened. My manager calls me and says, can I try to get you on Tonight Show? Yeah. Then the booker calls me with my manager on the phone and says, hey, congratulations, you're doing the show. And it was cool. And I mean, that conversation, when we hung up, I cried. I was like, this
for
is
sure, dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen for 6 months. And then I
no talking back and forth.
Nothing.
Just
I talk, call him. I go, what's going on? He goes, you know, it might not. My manager said it might not happen with the whole Fallon thing.
Yeah,
we might have to go somewhere else. And then I'm just going, oh, okay.
And, yeah. And then you chalk it up to that's the business, right?
One of those things. And I even was on call once. They you know how they say you're on.
Yep.
And I didn't even leave my house.
Yeah.
And I was, I got paid for it, which was weird. But then I forgot about it. I thought, that's not going to happen because of the whole. The change, and then one day, they literally said, "You're doing the Tonight Show today. The car's picking you up in 45 minutes."
And like, you still had the set that you had planned out, right? Or
yeah, well, I had been working on that thing forever, so I just had it memorized. And then, I never met the guy, he said, "Oh no, we came and saw you. We just didn't say hi." They came and saw me. They liked my set. They had one note.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They said the rest of it, awesome. Let it just do it that way. I mean, it was just it couldn't have gone better. And it couldn't have been easier.
Right. In that moment, you almost don't have time to be nervous because you're like, holy shit, the car's picking me up in 45 minutes. Like, I got to get it.
It was one of those things where I was so bummed about it might not happen that I was like, I wasn't like nervous. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get my ass there. Let's go.
And your kids were super pumped.
And it's because Justin Timberlake got sick.
Really?
He was supposed to perform a song that night and canceled. So they needed something to close the show.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. If you watched it, I'm the last thing.
Yeah.
And that was why. And
so JT got to watch it too.
Yeah. And he was amazing afterwards. And, you know, we talked and stuff. And it
did
was.
Did you please tell me you did a little. Woo, 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 woo.
Oh, yeah. I gave him a lot of pointers. It was cool. He goes, hey, where are you from? I go, I'm from Long Beach.
Wait, whoa. Wait a minute. What did he sound like?
Go back to your Timberlake impression.
I'm not good at it.
No, don't even. I'm going to do what you right. just did.
Okay. You want me to do what I. Hey, where are you from? That's all I said.
Hey,
dog.
That was John DeWalt trying to be.
Dog, we're the best. We're the best. We're the reason this town survived.
That's the best. Because you weren't even trying to do an impression. You were just trying to move the story along.
I mean,
but you were like, let me just try to do a little bit of an affectation of a person.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
All right, anyway.
Hey, man, where you from?
There it is. So, and you said.
I said, I'm from Long Beach. She goes, my ex-girlfriend's from Long Beach. Who I went to school with, Cameron Diaz.
What?
Yeah, she was Cameron Diaz was from Long Beach.
You went to high school with her?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I didn't know her. Yeah. I was friendly kind of with her sister.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't remember me.
Was she like one of those people where like she was voted most likely to become famous?
She was a
most likely
she
to have jizz in her hair in a movie.
Yeah. Hey, she, you know, she conquers her goals. That's the kind of person she is. You know what I mean? She follows through, bro.
What was it like growing up? You grew up in Long Beach.
Grew up in Long Beach.
Yeah. That's
LB.
Yeah, now people do that. Anytime, like when we do the Long Beach Laugh Factory and somebody does like the LBC, like
people,
and it's been mentioned in rap songs.
People that aren't from Long Beach say LBC.
Mm-hmm.
People that are from there and grew up there say LB or Long Beach.
Now, it's got a little bit of a reputation for being what?
Awesome.
Yeah. And?
Awesome.
There it is.
It's got a reputation for being kind of hood.
Right. Well, yeah, whenever like Snoop Dogg references your song.
Yeah, people
your
are
city.
Always like Snoop Dogg and Sublime are the only two things that ever came out of Long Beach.
Yeah.
Not true.
Jason Collins. Cameron Diaz's
straight
sister.
Out of Long Beach. There's one hood in Long Beach. It's a tiny little area, and the rest of the city is gorgeous. I mean, there's like four different neighborhoods where the houses are $2 million and up, you know.
Wow.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And, you know, but...
So what is it like growing up there? I mean, like, where do your comedy influences come from? What kind of a...
Growing up in Long Beach is like growing up in a small town. Everybody knows each other. It's like that. And it's just far enough outside of L.A. and Hollywood. Because it is Los Angeles.
Yeah,
people think it's Orange County, but
no,
it's...
No, L.A. County.
L.A. County. It's the last city in L.A. County before it turns into, you know, Seal Beach, which is Orange County. But... It's just far enough away from here, L.A., Hollywood, to be just like the burbs, like any town, USA. It's the suburbs.
And what do you like? I mean, there's no Long Beach Laugh Factory.
A lot of bitches. a lot of getting high.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, everyone smokes weed down there.
Oh, dude, it's such a bunch of potheads down there. we would get in the car and drive 30 minutes up to Hollywood.
A lot.
Yeah.
Where would you go to? This isn't high school.
When I was turned 18, I was always going to the comedy store.
No shit.
I'd go to the comedy store. That was one of the things that my buddies and I liked. If we had a date, let's take them to a comedy club.
Well, yeah, because you had nothing down in Long Beach.
We had one comedy club, and if you're familiar with the Long Beach Laugh Factory, down the hill, up the hill from it, there's this white building on Pine. It's like one of the oldest buildings. There used to be a comedy club in that building. And then up the street, on the same street as Laugh Factory, there was a place called Birdland West. And we would go there every Thursday night when I was like 19, 18 years old. And the lineup would be Martin Lawrence, Jamie Foxx, Damon Wayans.
What the fuck?
All these guys that are huge now.
Yeah.
They were there every Thursday night just, you know, working stuff out. And we would go in there and watch these guys. And it was, I just loved it.
Yeah, you just get so wet with inspiration.
Oh, man, I wanted to do that so bad, but I just.
And what was holding you back? Yeah, why didn't you start?
Well, I had kids young.
Yeah,
and my dad was in entertainment, and when I was young, he was gone a lot, and I didn't want to be gone a lot. And
what did your dad do?
My dad was a musician. He had a hit single in the 70s, and he toured all over the country.
What was the song?
The song was called Friends. The band was called Feather, and he was on the same bill as like Kris Kristofferson, Janis Joplin. I mean, he did a lot of touring. Yeah,
wow.
And he had a hit single, and he toured around the country, following the record around.
What did you as a kid? Do you know? Hmm. Okay, so when he was touring, you were how old?
From age 0 to 8 is how long he did that. And at around 8 years old, my mom said, you can be a rock star or a parent, but you can't be both. And
wow.
Yeah,
and he chose parent.
He chose parenting. Next day, he signed us up for football. And
for sure, that's why you're such a dope dad.
You know, I had a great example of a father.
Because that's a fucking, not an easy call, man.
Yeah,
right?
Not an easy call.
Here's 8, he's like, yeah, but those are crucial years.
Yeah.
Like that's...
But once he was done with the music thing he was like super dad.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you had that, and then when you had your kids, you're like, I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
that.
And I had kids young. Dad.
Right.
I was a young dad when I was 24 years old, I was coaching Little League, running a business, and raising 2 kids.
Holy
at
shit!
At like 24,
you grew up real quick.
Yeah, yeah. I did.
Prior to that, were you even?
I didn't
fit
really.
For,
yeah. I pretended to grow up, but I was still pretty immature.
Of course,
yeah.
But the fact that you even tried to pretend is valiant.
Oh yeah, it was
because there's a lot of people that
my wife and I would get so many looks on the football field and the baseball field because we were.
Isn't that so fucked up?
The youngest parents on there.
Well, yeah, they're jealous that you guys are still like
killing it. But I always wanted to do stand up.
Were you like a funny dad coaching and stuff?
I taught martial arts.
That's
for
right. I wanted to get to that.
20 something years. I had my own school for 20 years. I opened my own martial arts school in June of 92.
Was it called Haya? Because that would be the name of my school.
that's not a good name.
It, I mean, says the guy who isn't going to invest in my martial arts school.
Called Haya. Sounds like an energy drink.
Sold in where? Bread?
Well, whatever convenience store that the kids from Saved by the Bell hung out at. They would just hang out there and be like, dude, have you tried Haya? And then... Jesse Spano was like, "Hey, I already went through some shit with some caffeine pills. Yeah. I'm not gonna get stuck on.
I can't be the focal point of this episode." Screech is like, "I'll do it." They're like, "Shut up, Screech."
Hey, yeah, dude, try the grape. Grape Haya is the best.
So Lisa drank that one.
Whoa, Adam Ray.
All right, we might edit that out.
No. I mean, I'm just surprised because normally that's what I do.
I know.
I come strong to the hoop with the uncomfortable racial jokes.
I go strong to the hoop with the uncomfortable racial jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like you can get away with it.
You are the Allen Iverson.
I am.
Of uncomfortable racial jokes.
Strong to the hoop.
What was the... I didn't watch that show.
Lisa Turtle was the black character.
Yeah, so of course she drank the grape pie.
Yeah.
They had a black character on that show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. So
see, I was busy raising kids, you guys. Yeah.
Well, we were busy being raised by Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. So why do you open a martial arts studio?
Well, I studied martial arts from age 12 and forever. And then my dad also studied martial arts. And then, of course, my twin brother, you guys know David.
Yep, right.
We were all black belts. And at the time I was working at when my dad left the music industry, one of the guys that he played music with started an electronics component company in Orange County and brought my dad in. And then they built this company into a Fortune 500 company. Next thing you know, he's gone from a musician, and then 20 years later, he's a vice president of an electronics company.
That's incredible.
And I worked for him there.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Didn't like what I was doing. I always had the entertainment bug anyways. You know, by the way, you guys know that I produced hip-hop music when I was like 18 or 19 years old.
No, Jay.
You didn't know that?
No,
dude. I think you told me that
I had a record deal. I was signed to Polygram Island Records as a producer, and I produce hip-hop music.
I can't smile big enough right now.
And I was doing that thing, but then...
By the way, most interesting man in the world, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Hire Jason Collins.
Yeah, dude.
Well, here's the thing. I signed a bad contract, and I didn't make any money doing it, but I have... One of my claims of fame is that back
you signed
that,
it Jason Collins, yeah. And they were like, what?
They were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. That was a callback to the sound guy, by the way.
I got it. If you guys remember, there was a movie on HBO back in the early 90s called Strapped, Forrest Whitaker. It was the guy from Onyx. I don't even remember the rap group Onyx. That guy was
that
in
sounds
the
really
movie.
Familiar.
He was in the movie, whatever. Okay. It was a movie about gang violence and all this stuff.
Cool.
I produced the soundtrack. A lot of the music in that movie was my stuff. My name's in the credits, the whole thing. Didn't make a dime. So I needed to make money. I needed to put food on the table for the kids. And I was working at my dad's company at the time. One day he calls me into his office and says, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, what are we going to do? You know, because this is the only way I pay the bills.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, you're a black belt. I'm a black belt. Let's open a martial arts school.
Wow.
I asked him, Dad, why? What's going on? He was the VP of it. He goes, they're cutting back here. Now, my dad was the vice president of the company, but he wasn't the president. He wasn't the owner. He had bosses.
So he knew that he was still expendable.
And he said to me, he goes, they're going to make me fire some people today. And the first person on the list that they asked me to fire was my son, was me. They were going to have him fire me. And he said, fuck this place. I'm not going to do that. Let's go open our own business.
Wow.
And it was literally,
I love your dad. He was the best.
He was the best. He's a big part of why I got into stand-up. This is a great story. You guys are going to cry a little bit, but whatever.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I haven't cried since
30 days later.
Forrest Gump on TBS a couple nights ago.
Almost 30 days to the day later from that conversation in his office, we opened our doors to our own martial arts school. And then
that's crazy, by the way. 30 days?
Yeah.
Because
we found funding. It was crazy because my brother was already teaching. We had a good reputation in that martial arts community there, and a lot of our students had money, and they said, we'll give you money to open a school. You know,
you got to have like the kids from the families that like, because it's not cheap to.
Also, one of the bread and butter martial arts schools is kids. I mean, you know, MMA, all that stuff, it's great and it's a good thing to know. But if you're going to make a lot of money teaching martial arts, you either have to be a big name and be in MMA or be amazing with teaching children. That's just.
Or have a great name of a place like Haya. That attracts people and makes them go, well, that sounds like a place that teaches strong self defense for affordable prices.
We should parlay this into an energy drink. You're right.
All right, so 30 days is
then
crazy.
Then I opened the school because I left the music thing because I wasn't making any money and I had some kids coming and stuff. And so then I taught martial arts for the next 20 years. A buddy of mine who I grew up with since we were just kids, he knew that I had this bug to want to do stand-up comedy. And he's like, I got a friend. You got to meet him. He's really funny. And he was always telling me about his buddy that's a stand-up comic. Well, that buddy was Joe Coy. Mm-hmm. Who you know very well.
Yeah, exactly.
And one summer, my buddy was having a barbecue, a big barbecue, and I go to the barbecue, and I'm standing in the food line, and I start joking around with this guy standing next to me. We start going back and forth, and we're cracking each other up. And we sit down to eat, and he goes, what's your name? I go, Jason. He goes, what do you do for a living? I go, you won't believe me if I told you. And he goes, nah, tell me. I go, I teach martial arts. He's like, oh, wow. And Joe has loves martial arts. And I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a comedian. I go, oh, shit, you're the comedian.
This is before he's Joe Coy.
Yeah. This is when he was just doing, like, Wednesday night at the Asian night at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, my God.
Just,
I remember that. Yeah.
And he was just starting to break. Like, he was starting to some stuff.
I remember those times when he was outside the Laugh Factory and he would crush after Dane.
Yeah.
After Dane was, like, as big as you could get.
And he would kill after.
Crush after. And then hand out his DVDs.
And cards. That's why I started doing business.
1,000% why I do it.
Yeah. He was, like, the king of that.
Yeah.
So we kind of became buddies, and I just started hanging out with him for like a year. I just went to all the shows with him, and you know, we hung out.
He was just like, yo, come along. Because now you have an end to these cool places.
Meanwhile, my dad, who was like the most important thing, he got diagnosed with cancer. And they gave him like 6 months to live. He lived like 4 more years because he went into remission and then it came back real aggressive. Jeez. He just battled it for a long time. But I was always telling my dad, I would like to do that. And my dad, being an entertainer, he always kind of wanted to meet Joe because he just liked meeting guys that were entertainers. So one time Joe had
He loved comedy, yeah.
Yeah, loved. Oh, man. Our household, every special, every Carlin special on HBO, it was always like an event.
Fuck, dude.
Always.
Yeah. That's like, so crucial you have to be introduced to it somehow. Like, my dad was Belushi and Sinbad.
Mm-hmm.
And
you hear the stories of the comics saying, oh, my parents had the old records. My parents had the old Cosby, Red Fox records laying around.
And introduced you early to it.
Yeah, and we listened to it early.
It wasn't like,
don't listen to it because they're swearing on it. He goes, yeah, have fun. Listen to it. I mean.
Perfect. Awesome.
So one time Joe had a show down in Irvine at the Irvine Improv. It was one of his first times headlining down there. And where I live is between here and there. And he said, I got a show in Irvine. You want to come? I go, yeah, pick me up at my dad's house. So he comes to my parents' house to pick me up. And he meets my dad. They end up having a conversation without me in the room. Yeah. And I still to this day don't know the exact details of it. But we get in the car and Joe says, do you really want to do stand-up comedy? Now, I've already been hanging out with him for a long time, telling him I want to do that.
A year you said.
And I was the guy that was like, if he could do it, I could do it. Like that kind of thing.
But you're just telling him you're not ever like doing an open mic or anything.
Never. No, I never said that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what an open mic was.
Right.
Because my introduction to comedy was hanging out with Joe Coy at the Laugh Factory and watching just killers.
Right. Isn't it funny, too, to be in a place where you're like, because there is no school for it. And there's
zero.
Even when you're watching it, that's why I hear so many comics as a kid say, I didn't know that was a job you could do. So even at that age, not know like how to go about doing it. And if you don't know anybody and introduce you, what are you going to ask somebody who is like, I watch a lot of HBO specials. I think you should just go to New York and get on HBO.
But the thing is, I thought I just go to the Laugh Factory and tell them that I do this and they'll put me on next. You know, you just don't know. But we get in the car. He says, do you really want to do this? And I said, yeah, because he just had a conversation. Yeah. I said, yeah. He goes, well, then you need to stop being such a pussy and do it or your dad's never going to be able to see you do it. Like, just straight up.
Wow.
And I never thought of it that way. And I was oh, man. Next day, I called my brother. I said, the next day, I went to the Ha Ha Cafe. Because meanwhile, Joe was like, you got to go to the Ha Ha Cafe. They'll put you on. They'll do their open mic or whatever. I didn't even know what the fucking open mic was. So the next day after that conversation with Joe, and I watched him just annihilate the fucking improv.
Yeah.
I go to the Ha Ha Cafe, and I knew who the owners, I was told what the owner's name was. I knew who Jack was.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in, and I said, hey, Jack, are you Jack? He said, yeah. I go, I'm Jason Collings. I'm a comedian. I'd never done it before in my life. So Joe Coy and Fraser Smith and John Lovitz said that if I came here, you would put me on a show.
Those are good names.
Yeah, good names to drop.
I just dropped those names.
Sure.
He says, you're friend with Joe? I go, yeah. He goes, how long have you been doing comedy? I said, 5 years. I've never done it before.
That's okay.
Right?
I lied. I got a radio show at USC my senior year of college. Yeah. I go, how long have you been doing radio? I go, 15 years. They're like, aren't you 22?
I'm like, people fuck ask off. Me, how do you get into stand-up? I said, I BS my way into stand-up.
Right.
So Jack says, well, then come back tomorrow. You're on the show tomorrow.
Oh, my
Not
God.
Not the open mic.
Yeah,
show.
The
it was
show.
A Friday night.
Which,
show.
If you know anything about Friday Nights of the Ha Ha, packed, man.
Packed. It was like 35 people there.
Electric energy.
it's a
small room.
No, but so I showed
Sold out. 35.
So the next day I go, Dave, we got to write jokes. My brother David, and he goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm doing stand-up comedy tomorrow.
Dave, also like, funny, dude. Damn. Right.
Yeah, my brother's the funniest guy I know. After you guys.
by the way, if we're not here, he for sure doesn't say that.
You guys are
all right. Acceptable.
Yeah. But So the next night, I'm trying to write jokes, and I'm like, let's just wing it. Now, you got to understand, I've been teaching classes. I teach large groups of people every day.
Used
and
to
I've done
in public.
Seminars. So that's a hump that I don't need to get over. I know how to command a room full of people. And a room full of five-year-olds is one of the toughest crowds you'll ever have to entertain.
Sure. Why
and
is
I
that?
Taught with humor. Because they have such a short attention span.
Yeah.
Imagine the crowds that we deal with as comics, we think they have a short attention span, and you have to be the awesome to keep their attention. And if you suck, they see it right away. You lose them, they walk all over.
You have like waitresses coming through with drinks, and that's a distraction. A distraction for a kid is a bug flying in front of them.
5 years old, and the class is an hour long. They can't do there. They should the class for a 5 year old should only be 15 minutes long. You know what I mean?
You would probably maximize the
an hour long.
So come in, do two punches, get out.
Right. So I figured that out.
By the way, that will not be taught at high up. We will do more than two punches. Yeah, I want to go on record by saying that.
Three
right
punch
now.
Combinations is a minimum. But. So I'm like, I'm just gonna wing it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I showed up the next night at the Haha. The guy goes, "You're on third." I had no idea that that was the dopest spot.
Yeah, that's the kill spot too.
He says, "You're on third. I'm gonna light you at 12. You'll do 15 minutes, and I'll light you at 12." I had no idea what he meant by light me. Didn't have any idea what he meant. I just went, "Okay, yeah, light me." So I didn't know. Like,
maybe
what
that's a cool handshake he'll do when he comes up to take you.
I didn't
stage.
Know that there was a light that went on that told you were done. Had no idea. So I go on stage, and I did my very first time ever doing stand up. I did a 15-minute set, callbacks, crowd work.
Which, for people that don't do stand-up...
He's waving his phone at me.
Yeah.
Then I went, "Oh, that's the light."
You put two and two together, like, yeah. Got it. Yeah. All right, light. That's okay. What he meant. Do you know what the light means? Do you, like, understand what so that means?
Or he could have been... No, good for you to not be like, oh, not thinking that he was just like, "Hey, Jason, I got a new phone, man. I want to show you real quick."
"You got a call." He was giving me... I had a phone call. "Your wife's calling." Yeah.
So you just crush.
I don't know if I crushed it, but I did... I get off stage. And it went really well. I mean, the crowd liked me. The guy said, "Come back tomorrow. You're on again." And there was a comedian there, John Roy. You guys know John
Roy? Yeah.
John Roy.
John Roy. Top Robbie.
He says, "Hey."
Hilarious comic.
He says, "How long you been doing comedy?" And I said, "What time is it?" And like,
great
so kind. And he goes,
like,
"What
sounds
do you
like
mean?
An old school joke."
Yeah. About 15 minutes now. He's like, "No, not a true story. You haven't been doing right?" He didn't. Didn't believe it at all, but that was my first time ever doing it. And I just, I became immediately a regular at that club every week.
Yeah.
So and now you had a place to go up.
I had a place to go up. That first night that I did stand up, there was this guy in the back of the room laughing like a maniac. The craziest laugh I've ever heard.
I think I know who that is.
That was D'Elia.
Yeah.
Him and I met for the first time. We ended up hanging out every day after that for like, I don't know how long.
Because he had been starting about then too, right?
He was about 6 months ahead of me. When
still,
I met
that's
him,
very, I mean, that's about the same.
Yeah, when I met him, he was 6 months in. And then a few months down the line after becoming a regular there, then Brent Morin came around, and then the three of us just ran around doing coffee houses and bowling alleys and stuff.
Which is what you need, man. You need that support system. I was just telling a young comic the other day about, like, start, like, not only just being out and about and meeting people and starting to get, showing your face and getting comfortable being in the stand-up community, but like you start meeting the people that are on shows and they tell you where shows are that you don't know of, right? I'm sure that's what happened. Chris probably knew of shows already 6 months in. It was like, "Yo, you guys come here. I'm into this thing. I'll get you up there." And then you...
And then you carpool together or you know that you're going to meet up there. So you have that extra bit of motivation to get yourself
like
to do it.
Chris would say, "Hey, this guy has his bar list." And I would say, "Hey, this guy," you know, and we'd get each other. So then I did it. The second night that I did stand up, I brought a video camera and I videotaped my set and I brought it home and showed my dad because he was too sick to leave the house. And he said, he watched it. Now, mind you, my dad was an entertainer. He had a lot
of. This is the first time he's seen. So, I mean.
He's never seen me do stand up.
So when you're bringing it to him.
I'm leaning back on the stool. And he looks, he watches the tape. He laughed.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't do that joke about the da da da." I can't remember what it was. He goes, "Don't do that joke. I don't think your mom would like that joke." Mm-hmm. That was his only note. And then he goes, "But that doesn't look like somebody that's only done it twice." He goes, "That looks like that you've been doing this for a long time."
Yeah.
He goes, "Don't stop doing this. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is absolutely what you're supposed to be doing."
Wow. Wow.
A month, almost to the day after I started stand-up, he passed away. And I made him a promise. I said, "I'm not going to stop. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to see it through." I mean, and you guys know, there are times when you're like, what am I doing?
Sure.
You know, my family was like, "What are you doing? How?" I mean, and I'm trying to run a business because I ran the martial arts school still for the first, let's see, 6 or 7 years of stand-up.
Yeah.
I was still running a business during the day.
Yeah.
And raising kids because my kids were 11 and 15 or something when I started.
Right.
And... you know, and my wife she's the most patient woman on earth. I love her. And she was like, "Go get a job. What are you doing?" Because of being out all night trying to get up, the business starts suffering.
Yes, because then the next day you're sluggish, and then you got
to. And then I have to leave early. I need somebody to teach this class for me because I got a gig. Right
and by the way, when you're starting out, man, you
can't turn them down.
You're not seeing results for a little bit because you're just like, even though it's a numbers thing, man, and you just got to put in all these gigs, and then
it's a reality check too. You're like, "Wait a minute, maybe I'm."
You're like, "Wow, I'm driving up to Hollywood to do 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I'm leaving this class, and you're probably constantly battling yourself. Like, what am I?"
And it's one of those things because the first time I did it, I was like, "I got this." Laugh factory here.
Of course.
But then you realize, no, this
is a lot of work to be had.
This, and I'm not good. And I remember calling Joe Coy. I said, "Yo, I just did it. I had a great set." And he goes, "Cool, man. call me in 10 years. Tell me how it's going.
Yeah, and he was happy to get you in the door, but now
right,
it's like,
but now it's like okay, now the real work
that's
begins.
That's what was dope about it. Yeah. It's like, there were times when I was mad at him. Why aren't you hooking me up? You're the guy. But you know what? He did hook me up by not hooking me up.
Yes. Right.
You know, totally. Because yeah. Now I learned, okay, this shit, because it, you know, although I make it look easy.
You do, man. I mean, hey, I'm sure you're.
But you know what?
It ain't forever.
You're right. Absolutely right, because he
that
knows.
That was Timberlake again, by the way. Yeah.
Perfect impression. Yeah. He knows that if you get seen too quickly by a Jamie Masada who runs a Laugh Factory or by the booker for the improvs, if you get seen too quickly and you're not ready, now it's already in that booker's head.
That's the guy that sucks.
Yeah, Jason is not funny.
Yeah.
So then, and it takes at least 2 years of seeing you again to even start to think that you're funny. So you're right. He did hook you up by not hooking you up.
Exactly. And we're still great friends to this day.
Sure.
And, you know, those bar shows, like there was a bar in Long Beach called Springbok where you would go and nobody wanted you to do stand up there. They were angry that you were even there. But if you can get a room like that to listen to you, that's such a, you know, and they were doing pool. It was fun.
Well, I remember, I think when I first met you, I might have been prior to this, but you started a show at the Gas Lamp.
Yeah.
In Long Beach.
Yep.
And had me come down there, I think, with Brent one time. Because you guys knew each other.
That was a great room. I loved it. It's a good room today, too. I'm not, you know, it's still a great comedy room.
It's still going?
Yeah. Every Wednesday night.
Wow.
And they took that. Remember, there was a rail on the.
Yes.
Of course you remember.
Yeah, I remember it because I go on that stage and it's like, well, it looks like I'm a criminal and they're blanking out my eyes.
There's literally a rail.
Because the rail's like right across
my
face.
Yeah, dude. That's gone. It's gone.
Thank God.
It looks like a dope venue now. I actually want to shoot. When it comes time to do a special, I want to shoot it there.
Great idea, dude.
Because it's where I started. It's my hometown.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I was just telling somebody the other day how I want to shoot my special in my high school theater where I did
that
plays.
Would be awesome.
Because I quit football my sophomore year to play Danny Zuko in Grease. And that's when I was like, oh, shit, I think I want to be an actor. And that's what got me down here. And then that's what got me into stand-up.
You
and
also only be Danny Zuko, by the way.
Of course. Well, my Adam Ray was not going to be Kinnicky. Let's be honest.
Nah, dude. Star
only
quality.
Only
no.
Hey,
but,
hey.
Oh, dude, I watched that movie so many times. And I had now my voice is so deep, but when it was higher, I would do, you know, I'd do like, oh, Sandy, you know, I had I was literally, and I was fucking, you know, my chicken legs and my dancing, like, and I could sing well enough, you know, and dance well enough, but it was more the fucking hair, the look, the essence. Got the tape, man. I should probably post it on YouTube.
You probably should.
Absolutely.
Probably
That's a throwback Thursday
that,
right there.
Yeah. Well, that play also is the reason I got to make out with a senior girl that I had a crush on. Boom.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that's why we do it all, right?
Yeah,
that's to make out the senior girl,
exactly,
absolutely,
and then you know you don't know what you haven't done sex yet, which by the way,
great sentence, Adam. Right?
You haven't
fuck
done sex
you, Brad.
Yet.
I slept 4 hours last night.
Have you not done the sex thing yet?
You put the thing inside her thing.
No, the thing is goes in the thing, and then it's like, oh man.
Okay, you know what?
It's my
you joke.
Hey, it's my tickle spot.
All right, you just then that
sounds like what the DARE officer says when he's like, don't let an adult touch you in your tickle spot.
Oh man.
Because you'll go, oh man.
Oh man.
I did the grease. So she touched my tickle spot.
Now I'm doing the sex thing. It's great.
Did you do any theater in high school?
No.
All right, next question.
I did a lot of music like during high school, but I wasn't involved in anything with the school, like plays or anything like that.
But the performer in you was,
if there was like a talent show, sometimes I'd go and do like a...
Because again, even not doing stand-up, like, and you say it was so easy for you because you had been in front of people, and but then also, like you said, like the bullshitting with Joe Coy at the barbecue and coaching the sports stuff. Sounds like you, and I think that's innately in most comedians, where you just have a natural... camaraderie with people, and you just like always, like, you know, like Brad and I, I'm sure both, like, were... You know, the storytellers in big groups of people in high school where you just, you pick something at some point you pick up on and go, oh, wow, I can hold an audience, you know? Mm-hmm. And
I did, I figured that I found that in high school, at the high school age. In junior high, I was really shy. I was embarrassed. I wanted to be Michael Jackson, but I was too white.
Okay, well, but, let's just talk about... We're not moving on for a couple minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
You wanted to be Michael.
Oh, yeah. I had the curl on the front of my head going down and everything.
Oh,
that's a picture I need to see.
The two of us need look no more. Remember this?
I sang the whole thing, man. No wonder you and Joe Coy got along so well, because he's like the same way.
Oh, yeah, that R&B whole thing.
Yeah, so you guys were probably just driving the gigs doing Michael.
What did your pops think of you being this into Michael?
Well,
did he love Michael too?
Yeah, but I was into it before we all found out he was.
Oh shit!
Whatever we
and the parents are a little more sensitive to it,
right? But but you understand, my dad, huge, you know, music was huge in my house.
Yeah.
I mean, R&B, the whole thing. It was just part of.
So you want to be Michael because he was just like he was the man.
Yeah, I wanted to be. Yeah, he was. You remember the show that him and his brothers did they reunited in the 80s mm-hmm. and that right there I was sold, and I was on a football team at the time that I think me and my brother and like two other kids were the only white kids on the team, and all the other kids were doing this Michael Jackson thing, and I was like, I want to do that.
It looks fun. They were doing synchronized dances,
everything.
Yeah, and you're like, all we have is Rick Astley.
They were doing all of that.
Oh
stuff.
My god! But, wait a minute. So were you in the corner doing?
At home, alone in front of the mirror.
Please tell me though, one practice you walk in and just fucking get up on like the lockers and start doing it.
Yeah, a leg kick or something,
and just introduce them to the world that they do not know of the white guy doing a great Michael Jackson.
The next day, did you see what Jason Collins did? He morphed. He morphed into a Jackson.
There really seems like no. I mean, hey, crushing at a big. You know, we've all performed at theaters. Those theaters you did with Chris Lee on his tour. I mean,
amazing.
1,500, 2,000 plus. Man. Yeah,
I was so lucky that he asked me to do that.
That
30 cities or something like.
Yeah, another. I mean, like, here's the thing too. It's like you. We talk about doing those early gigs where you're like leaving the martial arts studio and stuff. You don't see things like The Tonight Show, the BET thing, the going on tour with a big comic, like you want those things, and you want them prematurely because you're like
I did it too early. When you and I first met on that was it the At Close Range tour?
Yeah,
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, At Close Range with Mencia, because Mencia saw you and was like, "Who's this dude? Who's this seasoned veteran?" You're like, I've been doing it about like a year.
He saw me in and at the Laugh Factory and. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, his road manager called me and said he wants you on the tour. And then the next week, I was on four different airplanes in different airports to get to meet these guys on the tour.
With how much time? Did you have in your pocket to do?
I think 20.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you were doing 10 on the tour?
I was doing 10 to 15 on the tour. The first night, he had me do 20 because a couple guys were gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there that night. Yeah. And then I think Cristela Alonso was also gone.
She left. So and then what's the... Yeah. What was the Latino guy's name that always wore the matching baseball cap?
Juan Villarreal.
Yeah, he was. So it was
That's a real guy's name.
Juan Villarreal. That's his name. Juan Villarreal.
I think I dipped a Tostito chip in that recently.
Yeah.
All right, here's how you pronounce the name. Just put a lot of guacamole in the very back of your mouth and then try and talk.
That tour, though,
Juan
dude,
Villarreal.
I literally had no time to be afraid. I had no time to be nervous. I got off the plane. The chick picked me up from the airport, drove me to the venue. I dropped my bag and walked out on stage. That's literally how it was.
I remember that.
And Mencia introduced me
from
backstage. And it was a nice introduction. He said, "I saw this guy in Hollywood. I wanted to share him with my fans. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Collings." I had no idea how big the venue was. I walked out and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
what?
Shell shock.
Yeah, and the timing has to be completely different.
Yep, right.
Up until then, the biggest crowd I ever did, I think, was 200 people.
And now you're doing a 1,300.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And they gave me a standing ovation walking out.
Whoa.
Because of Mencia's introduction.
Right.
Whoa.
It was nuts.
Yeah. Those gigs, they kind of do that to you where it's like, oh, wait, you have to learn how to, all right, now I got to mug a little extra longer for these jokes, and then I have to allow for the laughs. And
and again, I got lucky because a lot of people that are like, trying to coach you or teach you, they kind of big league you a little bit, like, "Hey, kid," you know, like I hadn't had to deal with that at all. And even with Mencia, he was like, "Hey, just so you know, this isn't a comedy show, it's a rock concert. Treat it like that." That's the only note he had.
Wow.
And then I went out and did my thing, and it went well. And I was on the last five shows of that tour or something. And
have you gotten?
Couldn't wait to get back to the haha. Literally, I was like, I got off the plane, got in the car, and went to the haha and performed in front of six people.
It was like, back home.
Yeah, stand-up comedy, you know?
Dude, but that's, hey, man, that's why stand-up is the best, because it's the most just profession in the world as far as, like, where it's, I mean, shit, man, I remember I got back from Boston after being there for a month doing the heat and came back, and I put in my avails for the Comedy Store, and I first spot back, 12:45.
Oh, yeah, the best spot.
Nine people. And I'm literally sitting there, and somebody brought me up to, and, you know, I hadn't, I... You know, people in the, we all know of what people were doing. So it's like I wasn't, if people asked me about it, yeah, I'd tell them about it. But I wasn't, because also I didn't know at that point yet. I knew that I was integral enough to the story in the movie, but dude, I didn't know they only kept in two lines.
Right.
So I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
No, you never know. Kevin Costner was totally cut out of The Big Chill.
What?
Yeah. You remember the movie The Big Chill?
Yeah.
Costner was the dead body.
No shit.
What?
He was the guy. He was their friend that committed suicide. He was the actor that, and there were a bunch of scenes with, that, where they flashed, and he was completely cut out of the movie.
Wow.
So you never really know.
Do you know Tom Selleck was Indiana Jones, and after they shot it, they CGI'd Harrison Ford's face over his.
What? The whole movie?
Yeah. So you never know.
That's, I don't know.
And that's one of the first lessons we're going to teach at the Hayat School of Self-Defense
CGI.
And Training Abilities.
Luke, you don't have to, you know, outdo my story, man. By making up shit.
Well, that's the second lesson of the high self-defense school of training abilities.
Okay, listeners, mine was true.
I think, like, the whole sort of lesson to you, to your journeys in stand-up comedy, Jason, is, like, no time to be afraid.
Yeah.
You just, like, you just get called up, and you're like, do it.
And honestly, I feel like that all the time anyways, because I have this, I have a personal issue with my age. Like, I think these young guys don't understand. I don't. I got to get it done now.
Right.
Because in a blink of an eye, I'm going to be 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just have it in my head that
you think
I
about that a lot.
Oh yeah.
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 So it makes you
like I'm running the light in my life.
Wow. Oh, okay.
That's fucking profound.
Take a moment and let that one sink in a little bit.
Yes and no.
That's how I think.
Of course.
But then
I mean, but it also drives you.
Of course,
the passing of my dad, he was pretty young. He was only 60, and that makes you think like, oh man, you really think about your own mortality and like, how much time do I have?
Why you have started to just think of mortality in general.
Yeah, and think of get it done. No time for sitting around bullshitting and whining and going, what if? You know, I wish I could have. I wish should have.
It's a lose-lose game, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and whenever I get up on stage, whether it's in front of 1,500 people or four people at the Comedy Store, there's just a second where I go, I'm so fucking lucky. This is so cool. I'm getting a check for this bullshit.
Yeah, and then and now you don't do the martial arts school anymore.
Like, no, I sold my school 3 years ago. I figured instead of going out of business, let's sell it. I had a guy that was interested in buying it, put some money in my pocket, and I, you know.
And how was that moment when, because... You sort of always had that safety net of, yeah, I'm doing stand-up. I really want to do it. I made the promise to my dad. But if it doesn't work out and
I still got this.
Once you sell the store, you're like,
now you're all in.
This is all I have.
I don't remember the exact moment, but there had to be a time when it was just a realization of, okay, this is who I am and what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do, and I'm going to just do it.
Yeah, you're no longer a martial artist who moonlights as a comedian.
Right.
You're a comedian.
Yeah,
at that point.
And the martial arts I had really bad knee problems and stuff, and it was just destroying my legs. So it was time, anyways.
Right.
But what a crazy thing to decide to segue into. You know, like, you know what I'm going to do? Stand up. I don't ever want to have a real job in my entire life.
Yeah, there must have been parents of that studio that were like, you're not going to teach Gabriel anymore to do the kung fu swap kick, which, by the way, is the third move you learn in your second week of class
at
the Haya School of Self-Defense and Training Abilities. But,
wow.
But
I want the videos.
You've extended the name?
I've extended the name. I've extended the curriculum. There is a pamphlet in my room right now.
And there's an online
not
course.
Not drawn up. But there's a piece of paper, blank, and ready for filling in.
I want to see how Adam Ray dresses the first day of him going to the Haya school. I think it's like the most stereotypical. Like, he's wearing three headbands.
Yeah, yeah. And a black belt that he never earned.
And shin guards.
On your arms.
On my...
What? The guy at Dick's Sporting Goods said I needed these.
And I go, you get these when you figure out why you're the true Kung Fu Dragon. And they go, what does that mean? And I go, you'll find out next week.
Oh,
class is adjourned. And they go, and the parents go, dude, Adam, $50 for a 5-minute class just to tell them they're going to find out what the Kung Fu Dragon means. I go, hey, Dan, I can sense your sarcasm and your hostile tone, and I'm going to personally tell you right now, thank you for your check, but also fuck off.
You know what would actually happen with my experience is that parents would come and go, my son really wants the Kung Fu Dragon. If there's any way we can maybe take extra lessons.
Like that's a movement. Okay.
Yeah. Because if you announce it, I want the Kung Fu Dragon.
The parents just want the best for the kids, but sometimes
they don't want them to work for it a lot.
No, they don't.
Did you have parents that would come to you and be like, can Billy just get a black belt?
Oh,
like,
man. It was,
how much would it cost?
Oh,
also,
my God,
why isn't my son progressing in the class? I didn't, like, it was like my fault. And I'm like, well, it's because you... And every parent thinks their son's my son is very above average. He's like a natural. I'm like, ma'am, your son's licking the mirror right now. I don't know what else to tell you. And
that's
only
not
an
one
hour
of the moves.
Long
I
spot.
Mean, you know? To be fair, if some guy licked me before a fight, I would not want to fight that guy anymore.
Right?
He wins at that point.
You'd want to go out.
Or if he's licking a mirror, you're like, this guy's way into himself.
So they would come up.
How do you handle it?
So that's got to be. I mean,
that's another reason. That's another thing. People are like, how do you handle hecklers? Man, that's like almost a version of heckler. It's like
your hecklers were Kung Fu parents.
Parents behind me,
which is a sequel to Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Parents that wanted to coach their kid while you're teaching the kid. I have, 20 plus years of experience in doing martial arts, and then I got the dad back here who's a plumber.
But he saw Karate Kid 3 times.
Do you know what I mean?
The Jaden
Smith
version.
Maybe,
the Jaden Smith version. Exactly. So he's like, obviously I know what to do.
Don't you think maybe he's ready? Do you think I think he's ready.
So this has got to be contributing to your father skills too, because you're seeing, you're like, oh, I don't want to be that dad, right?
Oh, man.
And patience, yeah.
Patience. It teaches you so much patience, because I can't knock the guy out. I'm going to go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many times when I'm like, it would be so much easier just to beat the shit out of him.
Just to put these moves to use.
And it was
Jay, for real, you had those thoughts?
So many times.
You're in
big,
a dojo.
Big smile on my face. Yeah. Yeah, I understand, sir. The whole time I'm thinking, I can
snap,
knock
kick,
your
whip,
freaking teeth out right now before you even blink your eyes.
And
can
you
I
really
want to? Not now, I can't. I'm a lot slower than I used to be.
But like, would dads kind of, because I know there's kind of that thing among men when like there's that alpha male where that he wants to prove that he's sort of better than you, where like dad's looking at you like, all right, you got your little school, but let's be honest.
Oh, there was always this dad. I took Taekwondo for 6 months in 1975.
I was just going to say, dude, there's a dad that wants to have the story that he kicked a black belt's ass.
Right.
So they get in your face being like, I know we're in your studio, but maybe come outside of the Baskin-Robbins next Wednesday at 4 and be on my turf. It's like, you work there? He's like, keep that between us. Yeah.
I've had people call me out. Oh, and then you get students
the kids
usually
get older.
25-year-old guys in there that they go, I think I can take this the teacher now. And then sparring class comes and they like take it to you, like they're trying to knock you out.
Shit!
And there's like a fine line between keeping this guy's respect by fucking him up, but not hurting him too much where he's going to call his lawyer the next day.
He's not even trying to. In his head, he's trying to take you down, and you're like, I'm trying to teach you.
I'm training him and sparring with him. He's trying to absolutely fight me.
Dude.
I got in fights every day.
And then you think WWCND. What would Chuck Norris do?
Exactly.
And what would he do?
You know, he'd win.
Well, in the fourth week of the High Ass School of Self-Defense and Training Abilities, we read all the Chuck Norris quotes.
Is it me or is the title of the school getting longer?
It's actually saying the same. You guys just aren't listening. And that's in the fifth week,
training
we teach
abilities.
You to listen at the High Ass School of Self-Defense and Training Abilities.
Okay.
He added a word
there. We had five rules that we taught. Our students.
For real?
Yeah, five rules.
Cool.
And these are amazing rules to live by. I use them in stand-up and everything else. Effort, etiquette, character, sincerity, and self-control.
Okay.
Effort, try your hardest always.
Mm-hmm.
Etiquette, always have good manners. Character, always be yourself. Sincerity, always be honest. And self-control, control your mind and your body. Always.
And that makes perfect sense. And that absolutely applies to stand-up as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do they teach that in your bullshit school, Adam?
No, they don't. But they do teach you why. They do teach you why the soundtrack from Cool Runnings is better than the soundtrack from Willow.
Dude, your school sounds
wait,
a lot.
How dare you? Those are fighting words, Adam Ray.
Well, that's a class we teach only to dwarves. Oh, yeah, just so we can see them get all enraged at the same time and spar each other.
I would love to see an all dwarf martial arts class.
Oh, my God. Come to the sixth week of the High End School of Self Defense and Training.
6:30 p.m.
Dude, I mean, we're getting off topic, but I've got a friend. I've got a dwarf buddy named Ryan who lives in San Diego, who is a fourth degree black belt, and I have seen this guy in a bar fight whoop some ass. Yeah. It was awesome. I would love to see
the guy that he like his the guy's reaction, because you know guys like, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I heard it, some guy got in your face not too long ago somewhere, and you went. Who told me that they saw you go off on somebody, and it was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I can't bear.
Yeah, I've never seen this, and I want to.
Where was it? It was somewhere, and a guy was doing a guest spot, and he was late or something, and he was mad because he didn't do enough time or something. And,
oh, yeah, yes,
and
Ontario.
From what I hear,
I know that story.
You almost ripped this dude's head off, and I was like, "Fuck! I wish I could have seen that."
Now that I'm remembering the retelling, and even in retelling it was probably as heated as I've seen you.
Yeah, I know exactly what story you're talking about.
Rivas told me. You know, Rivas told me the story.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, what happened, and I'll summarize for the listeners without revealing the guy's name because I don't want to do that. But a guy came down, and he's been begging me for a guest spot forever, and I finally said, "You know what? I got the show at the Ontario Improv. Let's do a guest spot." So he comes down and he says, how much time am I going to do? And I say, well, it's a guest spot, so you're going to do 7 minutes. He goes, I'm going to do 10 minutes.
Not can I do 10 minutes.
Yeah, just I'm going to do 10 minutes. It's like, all right, first of all, no, you're going to do 7. But okay, I respect that you're puffing your chest out a little bit, but no, you're going to do 7. So the first show happens and the host brings up the feature act.
He forgot to bring him up.
He forgot to bring up the guest spot. So he brings up Mike Malone, who is a killer.
Yes.
Mike Malone will wreck a room. So Mike Malone destroys. So I'm going to the guest spot guy. I'm like, all right, he messed up, so I'm sorry, but we'll get you on the next show. Because this was a Friday, so that there was...
And you don't want to follow what just happened on stage.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to go on. And the guy's like, no, I'm still going to go on next. I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, God, I have people in the audience. I'm like, my name's on the marquee.
What the heck?
Like, man. You're 4 people in the audience? Like, I told him, tell your friends. They'll get free tickets to the next show. And then come back, watch your set, and then leave. It's fine. And then it just escalated.
I heard
he said
things like, you're lucky, or a midget ought to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Wow. Now let me ask you.
I was like, a lot of people don't know this. You and I talked a lot about your dad. Your dad was like, don't think that this is a fucking excuse for anything.
Exactly.
And you had you in like on hockey teams. With
hockey teams. And
that shit.
And I took 6 months of Taekwondo.
There you go.
Pretty sure I could take you guys.
Hey, by the way, I took 4.
4 months of
Taekwondo. Not even joking.
That's less than 6 months. Or was that a brag? He won.
Hey, Jason, can I talk to you for a second, man? Can you not embarrass me on my podcast, man?
Why only 4 months? Did you move or did you quit?
No, my folks put up. But thanks for bringing that up. And
who got the Taekwondo and the divorce?
Who got the shitty skill set? And the judge rules you have to take him to Taekwondo.
That's so funny, dude. Who got your shitty Taekwondo skills in the divorce? That's funny.
That's perfect.
Will you come guest profess at the 7th week of the Hayao School?
Yeah, I will do it.
No, I did. I did 4. And you know what? It's funny. I want to tell this quick story. And then I want to get back to what moves your dwarf buddy did that really dominated.
Oh, I'll tell you. It's awesome to see.
Is he bigger than you or smaller than you?
He's 2 inches bigger than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not saying a lot.
So he's 4'6". A threatening, imposing. 4'6".
All right, just what did he do? We can't. This is a cliff. This is clearly too many.
You were there. You saw this.
Oh yeah, I saw it happen. Lucky. And this was like before really camera phones, like we had them, but not really. And basically, he just did like this. Like the guy was sort of imposing on him, like standing over him, and then all of a sudden, the dude just does like an inside kick to the knee.
It's called a reap, I think.
Okay, sure. He does a John Reap. He's like,
there's a sweep and a reap. And I believe the sweep is to the back of the leg and a reap is to the inside.
Yeah. So he does a reap And the guy,
my brother's probably going to correct me.
And the guy gets down on his knee after that because he lost that leg.
Yeah.
And then just straight punch right to the face. The guy just falls back, and then he gets on top and like full mount and just starts laying into him,
pounding him.
And you're just like that escalated quickly.
By the way, we call that at the High F School of Self Defense and Training, Billy. We call that the Cameron Diaz sister.
Was that week 8?
But week 9, actually.
Week 9.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing to see people break up a fight and grab the little person off of the tall guy, and then when the
save the big guy from the little thing,
and then then when the tall guy gets up, he's trying to save face, like, no man, let him
bring it more, no,
yeah, let him at, and then his friends are like, dude, he'll kill you,
yeah,
what the fuck,
let him go, and his friends are like, no,
dude, no, we need to get you in a car and buckled up,
we need to get you a new passport, you need to move to another
his
country.
His friends are like, we can never come to this bar again.
It was the greatest thing in the world to see.
There are so many chicks that saw that happen.
I don't know if you did this as an instructor, but when I took 4 months of Taekwondo,
he's an expert.
This instructor, basically on a Saturday, this is all I remember about. I remember wanting to be a black belt. I think all I ever had was the white belt. Mm-hmm. I remember practicing the...
guys, if you could see the hand movements,
I'm
going to
stand up and do it.
Right,
I'm going to stand up and do it.
You're doing your wrists weird. What is that with the thumb?
Are you slinging webs? Are you Spider-Man slinging webs?
He's hitchhiking. That's hitchhiking. Why are you doing the thumb?
Why are you trying to punch someone?
Your hips were kind of moving.
I was Ricky Martin, hitchhiker, Spider-Man.
Oh, got it. And his key eye, which is the yell you do, is...
My Kia. All right.
Can I
be perfect?
I almost named my son Ki Collings, by the way. My wife wouldn't.
Oh, no.
You know, she's like, no way. He would only be able to be like a stuntman or something.
which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. He'd only be able to be the coolest profession on planet Earth other than the guy who gets to hook up people with free Panera Bread soup. But
did you know my son worked at
Panera?
No, he works at Togo's, but they have soup there.
That was going to be my second sandwich reference shop. What? Love Togo's.
Yeah,
little shout out to Togo's and Jason's son.
Absolutely.
No, but this guy on a Saturday afternoon basically goes, and we'll wrap this up. I know you're looking at your phone.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes left. Mm-hmm. I go
an hour.
Saturday afternoon. He was basically going to try to break the Guinness Book of World Record for breaking boards, which I don't know if you know what the record is. Breaking boards.
I never did breaking.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it was just because he was like, hey, I want these kids to really know that I'm the shit.
Jason and Collings doesn't break boards. He breaks skulls.
That's it. I break spirit.
Definitely the voice of a guy who would break spirits. So he lines up, I think it was like 150 boards. I think that's somewhat accurate. And they're all one by one. And he's like, I'm going to go one by one and kia and fucking snap these boards in half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on like an Albertsons parking lot, like a grocery store parking lot, right? And
was the local news there?
They might have been.
That's awesome.
It was a big deal. And I'm down there in my fucking robe. It called?
In my kimono.
My kimono.
It's called a gi.
It's called a gi. I was in my white gi, and I was a fat kid. So it looked like I was the St. Puff Marshmallow Man. And the coincidence that I was eating marshmallows while I was watching my instructor try to break boards? Maybe. That's a personal question.
You're like, well, the Albertsons was right there.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Not go get marshmallows?
Yep. And the manager had to crush my mom and gave us free snacks. So,
and he called you marshmallow.
Yeah. He called me marshmallow jiggle titties. And so I am in the parking lot watching this guy. And even as a 10-year-old, I go, oh, this seems ridiculous and impossible. Mm-hmm. And in whatever order of those
it
you
is
want
ridiculous.
To. Right?
Not impossible, but ridiculous.
He gets maybe 18, 19 boards in, which I still feel like is like pretty good, before it's just going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're all like, holy shit, yeah. And on board 18, he goes, his kia turns to a, fuck, god damn it.
No.
And he breaks his arm.
Do you know why? Because he was hitting...
Because
fucking
he's an asshole.
And yeah, that's the dumb. I never understood the breaking thing.
So he hits, and I remember the board just does not break. And there's a collective gasp from the parents and giggles from the children.
And he's swearing.
Oh, dude, the most curse words I've ever heard from an adult. Bless you. In one given
it.
Moment,
I love that.
That's some of that stuff is such bullshit. It's all smoke and mirrors. Like there's those guys that like I'm gonna not only am I gonna break these bricks, but I'm going to set him on fire first.
I thought he was going to be like, but I'm going to baptize that kid in the fucking water over there. You're like, wow.
You guys do know.
It's the world record for board breaking / baptism. Oh, it's never been attempted before.
It's like, why? None of that has anything to do with fire.
Right.
No. Also, when you set the bricks on fire, a lot of people don't know this, the fire makes the bricks more brittle.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Easier to break them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like, okay, well, that's like some like magician secrets revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what, okay, so how many, what other things like that are misconstrued for being?
The board breaking thing where they stack a bunch of them on top of each other and they put the pencils between each board with a space.
I used to love that
space.
Shit.
I can't exactly remember why, but the air that gets between there when you, makes it easier for the, it just helps with the,
because I used to watch those videos of the guys who would go hands down in slow-mo and they would break like 90 boards.
Also, there are martial arts suppliers that sell to Taekwondo schools this certain wood that's made and designed to break easy. They're called breaking boards, and that's what it's for.
They use in movies and shit.
Yeah.
It's like the same type of fake, like you know, like candy glass is what they use for, like the like an SNL when you see somebody like jump through a window and it shatters. It's like this candy glass. It's supposed to just
it's not actual glass.
It's candy.
That's why I said it's candy glass, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
It's edible.
If there's anyone out there who heard candy glass and goes, "Oh, so real glass?"
I was just clarifying for those listeners, just so we all
do.
So
you guys have those listeners?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Probably.
Whoa, candy and glass.
Well, yeah, because...
hey, what flavor is the glass candy?
Is it like watermelon?
I prefer blue raspberry candy glass.
Sugar-free. That's the voice of the kid, by the way, who was licking the glass in your class.
Exactly. Is this candy glass? I could see myself in the candy.
Well, like, Steve Martin wrote in his book, he says, you will use, in show business, everything you've ever learned up into that point, whatever skill set you have, you'll use sometime. And I got no doubts that you did use all the skills that you've come across via teaching martial arts, doing those seminars, dealing with these asshole parents.
Yeah.
And now, no heckler can scare you. No audience member can say something where you're gonna be like,
I had one issue one time I was gonna actually physically wanted to follow this guy outside and have a fight. Well, twice. I was at Three Clubs.
Yeah,
and I was doing a show there,
little mini bar.
Couldn't see the audience. Can't see him. I'm doing my show. Some guy threw an ice cube at my face.
Mm. Now let me just clarify for the listeners what Three Clubs is. It's a cool dive bar, but there's a great room that holds about 50 people.
Yeah.
So very intimate.
Yeah.
So you can see this guy.
I couldn't see. They had a spotlight.
Okay.
And I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And some guy's drunk. He's like, I'm like, yo, man, just relax.
Ice cube hit.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, ice cube hits my.
He throws the rapper ice cube at your face?
Yes. And this is when he still had a Jerry curl. So it was messy.
Damn.
I'll let that one slide.
It hit my lens of my glasses and my thought, because I didn't always wear my glasses on stage back then. And I'm like, that could have. And that immediately made me mad. That guy doesn't have a right to.
No.
So I'm like.
Also makes you suddenly aware that, like, oh shit, I am kind of vulnerable up here.
Yeah. But I had almost all of the audience liked me that night. And I was almost. So I'm going to take it. I followed the guy outside after my set. I walked outside and I get outside. The guy's like 7 feet tall.
Oh,
he's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking up at him going, yo, man.
You still charged
me? Oh, yeah. I was mad. And he puts his hands up. He goes, yo, I'm sorry, dude. My bad. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, yeah, I just talked down the giant. I turn around and go back in, and I didn't realize that every dude that was in the audience followed me out and was standing behind me.
Oh, shit.
Like,
that's
getting my back.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I didn't have to. That's, you know.
You're like, I'm the man. And you turn around. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And my army.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one time at the Laugh Factory, this guy was heckling me, and it was the funniest thing. Brent tells the story really good. Brent Moran was there, and I looked up. He was in the upstairs in the balcony. I looked at Brent. I go, I'm going to fuck this guy up outside right now. On stage, I said that.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, everybody in the Laugh Factory followed me.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's the best.
It didn't happen.
Jamie's like, buddy, do not say you fuck person up outside, buddy. Yeah, yeah. Then everyone go outside. Yeah. Fuck them up on stage,
on
buddy.
Stage.
We charge tickets.
We put on YouTube channel.
Yeah, we put on YouTube channel. We get viewers.
See, Michael Richards, buddy, he said the racial slur, not good. You punch heckler in face, Awesome body. Awesome body. Do that body.
That's right. But that's it. I've never had... Most of the time, anything I use from that is all mental stuff.
Well, maybe next time, instead of challenging someone to a fight, you do like you do with your friends, and you sing at the heckler and just make fun of them through song.
That's what I'm going to do.
You stupid motherfucker. I wish you would stop talking during my set.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I wish you would stop talking during my set.
Do wishes come true.
Because if you keep talking, I will walk towards you and punch you in the face. That's the third thing we teach at the School of Higher Self-Defense and Training Abilities.
That school doesn't exist.
But it does if your attitude is right. But it does if your attitude is tight.
You got to have the right attitude.
You gotta believe it.
Hi-ya!
You gotta believe.
We just killed it, dude.
Oh my god.
Hi-ya is real.
Hi-ya is real. Hi-ya lives within
when
you.
Oh my god.
He just said hi-ya lives within you.
Oh yes. Dude, can I be honest,
t-shirt.
You guys?
Hey, t-shirt.
I'm borderline on the verge of tears because I'm real tired. I had a glass of Pinot Grigio Noir, which is not a real wine, but I'm a little drunk. And the fact that you guys were against me with my business idea, joined in on the theme song, and then Brad tags it with the slogan and what we stand for. That's the greatest day of my life. I've forgotten that you brought up my parents' divorce. I'll just say that.
Apparently you didn't.
I didn't. I'm still thinking about
that's
it.
That's what Hi-Ya does, Adam.
It helps you forget.
Mm-hmm. Helps you forget.
Jay, this has been one of the most fun podcasts we've done in a while.
You say that to everybody.
I swear to God, I don't.
Thanks, man.
You can go back and listen to
this
it.
This is one of my favorite ones that I've done today.
You're the man. So funny.
This is awesome. I've been wanting to do this for so long.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah. When is this thing going to air?
Two
or 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay. 2 or 3 weeks. Right. Yeah, we'll let you know.
And where can people see? Well, yeah.
I'm at the Comedy Store all the time when I'm in town. The Gas Lamp.
Awesome.
May 13th.
It'll be out before then.
Mm-hmm. May 13th, I'm at the Gas Lamp. May 13th, headlining show at the Gas Lamp.
That's going to be
in
huge.
Long Beach.
When have you been back there to do a big night?
I did a show about a month ago with Eliza and Eric Schwartz there.
Awesome.
But it wasn't me. It was just kind of all three of us, but this one's my night.
Oh, man. Cannot recommend a performer enough. And obviously, if this podcast doesn't make you want to go see Jay live, then look him up online. Look up his Tonight Show sets online.
Tonight Show sets online.
It's on your website.
Yep. Which is facebook.com.
Yep.
Comic View is somewhere on there. Just Google Jason Collins. Don't Google Jason Collins because you'll get the gay basketball player.
What do you do? Do you just
Google me.
Google me. Google me.
You got to Google me.
Got to Google Jason Collins.
Let me do that. Yes.
Wait, but real quick.
Brad's
one of the first time Jay and I realized that we both like to sing talk like that, we came up with this song called
The Fire
Google,
Pit.
Well, the Google Me thing.
Was first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were sitting at the parlor. Jay Davis' show at the parlor on Melrose Avenue.
At the parlor. At the fire pit.
And there's a fire pit. And we start singing this song that I've written 3/4 of the song of.
Oh, boy.
The fire pit.
About chilling. It was just like blank, blank, blank. Because we're chilling at the fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
That's the cut.
With your friends and your family. Chilling in the fire pit.
You like the harmony?
Yeah, it was good. Excellent. We'll work on that in the studio.
All right, cool.
Look up Jason Collins. Go see him live.
Twitter, Instagram?
At Jason Collins, JasonCollins.
One more time, because that was super fast.
JasonCollins.
One more time, sing it.
Collins, because I'm a gangster ass.
And that's how we end.
So, that's the show. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.